Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Everyone wants to hear from God. Raise your hand this morning if you would like to have a word from God. Yes. Case proved. Our culture is, of course, rife with folks who are quite eager to meet this demand. They are quite certain that they've heard from him. Self-proclaimed prophets and would-be messiahs are shockingly unoriginal. Usually it's fairly harmless stuff. When Hurricane Florence was about to make a record-setting landfall in North Carolina just a few years ago, 2018, it was last year, televangelist Pat Robertson, a man for putting in his mouth publicly with some frequency, he publicly prayed a shield of protection around the state because God had told him to, and banished the hurricane back out to the sea. Naturally, the hurricane made landfall a couple of days later, apparently undeterred by the clairvoyance of the prayer warrior. Others have been sure that they heard from the Lord the date of his second coming. Many of them have provided calendar dates and then revised them when it didn't happen. And so others have heard from God who they were to marry, what job they were supposed to have, or what vacation spot they simply must enjoy. Naturally, God isn't always so clear in his communication to the other parties involved. In my work at the college, I often counsel students who are desperate for some kind of word from God, some counsel or some kind of experience that will prove to them that he is present, that he is personally invested in them. And failing to hear anything in their normal life, they often come to the conclusion that something must be wrong with them. Few others, in despair, give up on the entire religious enterprise itself, chalking up the divine encounters of their peers as little more than wishful thinking. I imagine, by the hands raised earlier this morning, that I describe a spiritual reality felt by many of you who sit in these pews with me today. We Christians claim to believe in a personal God, and yet few of us have any kind of personal encounter with him, like we might have over a cup of coffee with a friend. Conversation often feels one way, and genuine contact seems elusive. Yet despite the near universality of this experience of want, which might suggest that God hasn't exactly engineered his presence among us to really work in this way, we nevertheless still long to hear something. So is it possible? Or is it merely wishful thinking and idle notions? Can we actually hear from God? Our scripture readings today seem to suggest that it's possible. How can Job be so positively certain that though his flesh decays and his life ebbs away, that he will somehow see God with his very own eyes after death? How can he say in so contradictory a manner that after the worms have eaten his body, nevertheless in his flesh he will see God? Take note of his words. To have this knowledge, so against the plain facts of existence beheld by mortal eyes, he must have heard from God. He must have some divine word on which his confidence, his faith in God's goodness, even after death, rests. And how can the psalmist say with such boldness that walking after God's word will enable him to flourish even in the scorching heat of desert winds? Even here in the climate of ancient Israel, the man of God is like a tree planted by water, whose leaves never wither and whose husk never dries up and is blown away like chaff. How can he be so confident that fidelity to God alone will separate his fate from that of the wicked all around him? To have this knowledge, so against the plain facts of history around us, where the righteous suffer and the unrighteous prosper with alarming impunity, why, he must have heard from God. And how can Jesus, looking down the barrel of his own suffering and death, assure his disciples that all manner of things will be well? How can he be so confident that it's far better for his grieving disciples that it must play out this way, because by these means they can have him wherever they go? To have this knowledge so against the plain facts of what is about to happen to him, he must have heard about it from God. But Jesus goes further than this. He doesn't merely bank on a sure word he has received from God, thereby giving us an example. He assures his disciples that they too will have a sure word from God. They too will be contacted directly by God's Holy Spirit. They too will be initiated into all mysteries, into all knowledge, and into all truth. He promises them, he gives them his word, that they too will share in his victory, that all things belonging to God the Father will be shared with them through the mediation of God the Son, by the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And this is where we are now today. This promise of Jesus, given to him, given by him to his disciples on the night before he was betrayed, is also through them for us. Perhaps it will seem a bait and switch to some of you, but I'm here to tell you this morning that all of you can hear from God. Not only that, but that you all in fact do hear from God, and with a regularity that may surprise you. Every single time Christ is proclaimed among you, when the scriptures are read and received by faith, the very word of God translated on human lips and mediated as vibrations through the air into your own very ears comes directly to you. This is the context of our epistle reading from James this morning. He has just countered their errant notion that God might actually tempt people into sin. Having thoroughly reputed the idea as contrary to the very character of God, James goes on to cite this very character as rather the giver of good gifts and not as a setter of snares and of traps who hides away in shifting shadows. Our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights, is the giver of all good gifts. And the chiefest of these gifts, James goes on to say, is God's word of truth to us. Taking this together with our Lord's promise of the Spirit of Truth's ministry among us, we can be sure that James is speaking in particular of God's word to us about Jesus, about which he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. This word, James tells us, brings us from death to life, just as God's word in the beginning, spoken over the void of primordial creation, brought about the sun and the moon and the earth and the sea and all plants and living creatures. Let it be, and it was so. Let it be, and it was so. And just as our God spoke once then, and his word was immediately put into effect, so he speaks by his own almighty will now through Jesus Christ. And those who receive the word are begotten, James says in verse 18. That is to say, they are born again as a whole new creation. Hearing this word, a word delivered by God's own supreme will and not by the fallible wills of fallen men, by God's will, it is all that it takes to rank us first among all of God's creatures. First fruits is the word that James uses, an early harvest before the main harvest yet to come. So when James finally delivers this adage, which is a favorite Bible verse for many, I want you to know his full meaning. Be swift to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. How many of you have heard this verse in the context of advice about interpersonal relationships? Raise your hand. Pay attention to the context, friends. He is not merely giving us helpful interpersonal advice about how we're to have a good conversation and influence people, though I think it would be effective in that way. He isn't talking about listening to other people in general as a great way to make friends, though, again, I think it would be effective advice. The context of this passage tells us this word of God is about Christ. He wants us to be quick to listen to God's word. He wants us to have ears ready to hear what God has to say. He wants us to become students before the greatest teacher who ever lived, Jesus Christ the righteous. And like good students who don't prattle on and on, enamored by the sound of their own fancies, no, we take the posture of humble receptivity, not speaking, but listening. And just to be clear that James is not giving merely general conversational advice, but admonishing a proper posture before God's word, he returns to the very topic in verse 21. And he calls us again to, quote, receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I don't know about you, but even the most adept conversation partner is not able to save my soul by his words. This is about the Word of God. Now, there's a powerful pun here, which is a bit lost in the English, which ties these two passages, bracket the be quick to listen passage together. The Word of God, James tells us in verse 18, makes us to be first fruits of a harvest. The Word of God, James tells us in verse 21, is seeded into us, translated here as engrafted. It's a botanical image. This is a remarkable thing. God sows the Word in us in order to reap a harvest in and through us, the first fruits of a new creation. Now, James's advice here only makes any whit of sense if he assumes out of the gate that we all have the ability to listen to God's Word with some regularity. And we can only listen to God's Word with some regularity if God is in fact speaking to us. And so the conclusion must be that God does speak to us. And perhaps it's not always in the way in which that we would like Him to, or that we imagine is best for us. But God does speak in His sovereign power just the same. He speaks to us through Jesus Christ, who is perfectly revealed to us by the Holy Spirit through all the words of Holy Scripture. Every time you come to this place to hear God's Word proclaimed, every time you open your Bible on your lap to meditate on it in private, my friends, perk up your ears, engage your attention, and humble your heart to hear it, to ponder it, to inwardly digest it, and to obey it. It is God who is speaking to you, not merely some human lecture, not merely your own inner voice. It is God's Word that comes to you. Sometimes that Word will be of great comfort to you. Sometimes that Word may not be exactly what it is that you want to hear. Sometimes it may challenge or convict you. And when you feel yourself getting a bit uncomfortable, you may be sure that the Spirit of God is convicting you of righteousness, of sin, and of judgment. So pay attention and bend the knee of your heart. Offer yourself to God and ask Him to have His way with you. Ask Him to mold you with His Word, just as He molded the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And there are a number of prayers in our prayer book that take Bible reading so seriously that they offer themselves as prayers that you can use to prepare your heart to receive God's Word. Don't assume that it happens naturally. You have to have a ready posture. Now, all of the words of Scripture, and not just in the Gospels, point us to Jesus. In the law, for example, we hear of Christ's perfect obedience. In the sacrifices, we hear of His once and done sacrifice for us. In the stories of the kings, we hear of Christ's perfectly righteous reign to come. In the prophets, we hear of Christ making the stony hearts of God's people turn to living flesh by the blood of a new covenant to come. In the Psalms, we hear the heart of Christ in prayer as He prays for God's people still in the world. In the epistles of Paul and of Peter and James and John, we hear the benefits of the crucified and risen Christ for all believers now. As Paul says elsewhere, all Scripture, and not just parts of it, all of it is breathed by God. In the Greek, is spirited by God for training in righteousness. And that righteousness, Jesus makes explicitly clear in our reading from the Gospel of John today, is entirely about Himself, about His victory which He has won for us, mediated to us freely by His Holy Spirit. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, do you want to hear from God this morning? Do you want to receive a sure and certain word from Him about your life and your place in God's world? Do you want to have the sure confidence of Job or of the psalmists? Then give yourself over to the lifetime study of God's most holy word in Scripture. It's not a bait and switch. It's God's own express design to give us great confidence in His faithfulness by so objective and verifiable a witness. He has spoken plainly through His Son, and He directs our attention to Jesus in every jot and tittle of the sacred Scriptures. And granted, sometimes a particular passage is not so obvious how it directs us to Christ. But herein lies a great divine invitation. Our Lord makes it hard on occasion as an exercise of faith. As we struggle and search and wrestle with the biblical word to find Christ, by the very effort, we come to know Christ more fully. just as the Berean Christians, as recorded in Acts chapter 17. Upon hearing the word of Christ from the Apostle Paul, they turned their attention and examined with great eagerness the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. So God calls us now to follow their example and to eagerly examine the scriptures every day to have Christ formed more fully in us. And I've been amazed in my own life how this sometimes can work. How a habit of taking in the word with regularity can mold us. Often, a passage I have studied months or even years before and got little meaning of out of the time will be used by the Spirit in my mind to enlighten me to some new truth in a moment. If you keep putting the word of God in, be assured the Spirit will use it eventually. So, my dear brothers and sisters, do you want to hear from God? Be quick to listen to God's word in Scripture. Study it. Wrestle through it. Memorize it. Be slow to speak before that teacher. Slow to have an opinion. Slow to explain away a passage by your own subtle wit and brilliance. Rather, submit yourself to it. Build into your lives new habits which, however haltingly at first, make you more and more obedient to it. Let your whole lives be conformed to the word of God in Christ Jesus. And not just your Sunday life, not just your life when your pastor is in the room, not just your life when anybody else is in the room, your life all the time, in every sphere and in every labor and in every refreshment. Let the people of this community here in Hillsdale say of us at Holy Trinity, whatever else they may say, that we are a people who love the word of God in Scripture. For in those precious words, the great and glorious creator of all things, seen and unseen, speaks directly to us. And that word, if received, truly received as the gem of great price that it is, James tells us this morning, and he cannot lie, it will save your souls.